The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we got double trouble. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. We got all kinds of trouble here this morning. I may have to call the police because these two characters are going to tell us all kinds of stories, which I don't know if I'm going to believe half of them or not, but I'll set this up for you. I have known about a company called Salesforce.com for many years. I think of Salesforce. I think of guys in Chicago and New York and sales guys and making telephone calls. But we have government agencies that are using Salesforce.com to help achieve many of the goals of the federal IT professional. So I had to bring in Salesforce just asking these questions and find out what in the world are they using Salesforce? What are they selling? Well, maybe it's not for sales. Maybe it's to improve service to maybe other members of their organizations or maybe even citizens and other folks as well. So today in the studio, we have David Ray. He's the Senior Vice President at Salesforce.com. And we have Curtis Wilburn. He's the Director of Operations at USDA Office of Operations. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning, John.
Good morning, John. Doing well, thank you.
Before we talk about Salesforce and the federal government, David, could you tell us about your background and how you wound up working for Salesforce?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've spent the last 30 years with public sector. I've worked for the government. I've worked in the IT business for the past 30 years. And frankly, I was drawn to Salesforce because they've really pioneered this shift to the cloud, and it's the latest next generation for technology.
So in other words, it gives users flexibility.
Absolutely.
So tell me, Curtis, what's your background?
Well, John, I started with the Department of Agriculture, I guess now about 26 years ago, working in property management, worked through contracting, ended up in grants and agreements, and one day I find myself working with a team of executives managing a multitude of administrative and financial management processes and trying to figure out what is the best way to manage the workflow, what's the best way to manage the data. And a couple of years ago, I was appointed to the Office of Operations as the director, and I had the same problem that I've had for a number of years. So certainly, for me, Salesforce was not on my radar. And let me say that I'm not an IT guy, by the way.
Yeah. You know, I think it's important for many of my listeners to get a handle on what the cloud is all about. Many of them get to work at 9 o'clock in the morning. They beat their head against the wall. They go home at 5 o'clock. They're trying to figure out how to deploy the cloud effectively, how to gauge expenses. And with something like Salesforce, it's pretty easy because it's a subscription-based service. You can find out right up front what it costs.
Absolutely. So for me, if I may just share with you how I got into all of this, the Office of Operations has a very broad and diverse portfolio of products and services that we provide to roughly 15,000 USDA employees in the National Capital Region. The Office of Operations consists of about seven separate divisions, each of them very, very separate in terms of their functionality, their responsibilities, working very much in individual silos. The challenge that I had was trying to figure out how it is that we begin to bring these separate organizations together as one entity. And one of the things that I found is the fact that many of the organizations, they were developing their separate independent databases for tracking and reporting out certain statistics on service delivery.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Yes, danger. Absolutely, danger, absolutely. Yeah. At significant cost. And the way we were established at that point, we really did not have communication across the organization. So everybody's doing their thing very much individually. I had the opportunity in late 2011 with some year-end money, okay, rather appropriate with where we are this time of the year. And for me, I simply called our OCIO, called up the office, say, listen, I need something about this big, about this deep, this tall, at this price, and I needed to come in on this date. And they started talking to me, oh, yeah, we're going to do this thing in the cloud. We're going to, you know, it's going to rapid development.
Like years or something.
Well, in my experience, certainly, John, that's what it would take. And I turned to my staff. I said, I don't think these guys get it. You know, I don't think they understand exactly what it is that I'm looking for. And we were looking to begin with about three or four different modules for separate functions. And the team that I was working with our OCIO, brought in a contractor. And they said, okay, we'll have a prototype for you in about 6 weeks. You know, and I started looking around for other options immediately. I really
did. How about 6 years?
Exactly. I mean, okay, I really don't think these guys understand what I'm looking for, and I don't think they get it. Well, in 4 weeks' time, they came in with a prototype. And what was really amazing to me was that not only was it was under budget, it came in much faster than I had expected, and it actually performed far better than the functional requirements that we had established because these guys began to understand our requirements. So, you know, the experience for me right then and there was completely different from anything I had done as a manager in federal government, trying to develop databases, trying to develop some new information management tools.
Reinventing the wheel.
Exactly. Okay. And I was sold at that moment.
So, David, let me see now. Salesforce has been around since about 1999, must have 12,000 employees, $4 billion in sales. That's a pretty big company, isn't it?
Absolutely, John. And, you know, let me just take a step back for a second because I mentioned in the beginning we pioneered this shift to the cloud, but we've really leverage mobile and social in a way that we brought the companies and our government agencies to really connect with their citizens and their consumers in a whole new way through multi-channel ways that they now reach their customers and their citizens. And just a little background, because everyone does think of Salesforce as a Salesforce automation leader. And indeed, we are the number one Salesforce automation company in the world. But we're much more than that. We are number one also in service with our service and our customer support platform. We also have a whole line for our marketing cloud where we provide this one-to-one journey to be able to customize the way we market to citizens as well as customers. And we also have the Salesforce One platform. And the Salesforce One platform, John, is this new way. It's a next generation way that of a platform for development. And it's the next generation for two real significant reasons. The first one is it was developed with APIs first. So now companies and governments can connect with big data. They can connect with wearables. They can connect with machinery they have in warehouses and equipment. They can do service logs. They can connect to just about anything. And the second piece in why it's the next generation, it's this rapid idea to application. They're able to get their ideas out very, very quickly. And that's what makes it so innovative.
Okay, now, Curtis, at the USDA, give me a better idea of the problem you were trying to solve when you selected Salesforce. Was this a citizen-facing problem? Was this a problem facing the members of your staff and your organization? What was your problem, and who were the people you're trying to address?
Well, more specifically, certainly, it's the employees within the agencies at the USDA headquarters complex and stationed in various facilities within the National Capital Region that we service. And one of the challenges, of course, is trying to figure out most effective ways and economical means to try to make sure that we're delivering services that are both effective, but also in such a way that we can begin to use data that we didn't have before. Such as service delivery standards, key performance indicators that help us to understand exactly how well we are meeting the customer's expectations for service delivery. I said a moment ago that certainly Salesforce was not on my radar when I started this effort, and neither was the cloud. I'll be quite honest with you, as a regular business manager, I simply needed to find some tools to get the job done. But I will tell you, some of what Dave just mentioned has really been very important for us. We are now doing things in the mobile app world that I only dreamt of a few years ago. For example, one of the functions that we have in the Office of Operations is facility maintenance operations. We have to make sure that we are following up, working with our contract partners to ensure that the facilities are being maintained and operated in an appropriate way. That means a lot of inspections and so on. We used to do this with a flip chart and a pen. People would collect information about the status of the facility. They would return to their office, log that information in, okay, if they got around to it. We now do it with mobile apps. We work everyone through the facility. They're carrying an iPad. They record the information. It's real time. It goes into the system. I get dashboards, executive dashboards, we call them, that tells me exactly what is going on with service delivery. And our customers get a dashboard, tell them what we're doing in service delivery.
Well, Curtis, my dashboard tells me we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the federal
federal government and how they can use a sales program like Salesforce.com to accomplish some of their goals. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, David Ray, Senior Vice President at Salesforce, and Curtis Wilburn, Director of Operations at USDA Office of Operations. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have David Ray, Senior Vice President of Salesforce, and Curtis Wilburn, Director of Operations at USDA Office of Operations. We have an odd couple here. We have a guy from Salesforce and a Govee. And it's like, well, what's here? And maybe the odd couple really has got nothing to do with the Govee and the commercial. Maybe it's like the old odd couple. Remember the Felix and Oscar on TV? They used to be the odd couple. Well, the odd couple here has got several applications. In fact, there's something called Oscar that you come up with. Well, maybe that's part of the odd couple here, Curtis. Tell us about Oscar and what it's got to do with Salesforce and serving people in the federal government.
That's a good question. And John, you know, one of the things for us in the Office of Operations, as we began this effort to try to develop a system that would support all of the goals and objectives we have for improving our relationship with our customers. And in fact, OSCAR, which stands for Operating System for Customer Access and Requests, excuse me, was really or is really the technology piece, okay, of our customer relationship management program. The system was designed to achieve a couple of very basic objectives. The first one being to serve as a one-stop shopping environment for all of Office of Operations customers for all products and services that we offer throughout the National Capital Region. The other thing was certainly to give us the ability to track how well we are doing with regard to certain metrics in service delivery, and to make sure then that we can use that data in a very proactive way, working directly with our customers to ensure that we're not only delivering the services that they want to have to support their mission requirements, but that we're also delivering those services in a way that are important to them in all the ways that matter. So that's how we got into this. And I will tell you that when we began, I started with the facilities piece of this. Looking at the number of different requirements we have in facilities, certainly with facility operations and maintenance, and then with repair and alterations. We then quickly moved to looking at some very important aspects of space management. We now have a module that helps everyone in our headquarters complex to know exactly how much space they have, how many employees they have in that space, and they can access this data, including the floor plans, and track exactly what we're doing with regard to movement of personnel and what that means then with space utilization. Very important, certainly, for the Office of Operations and I think our customers as well. But one of the bigger tools that we have that I think has been really exciting for us, we have hundreds of conference and meeting rooms in our complex. And every agency had its own process, its own system for how it is that they manage the reservation of those conference rooms. We've developed an app in the OSCAR database that essentially consolidates all of those conference rooms into one database, one system, one process. It allows the users to go into the system and they actually can scan. They can see pictures of the conference room. They can identify what kind of audio visual equipment is in the conference room, you know, the capacity. And that is changing things for us dramatically because we're moving closer and closer to an environment where all space is shared, and that's very important for us.
David, there's people who will be listening to this maybe when there's snow on the ground, and they're typing in Salesforce and go to your website, and realize it's not just salesy-type cloud. There's different clouds out there, and we talked about one, the platform. There's a custom cloud called Force. Give us maybe a thumbnail sketch of these different services or different categories that Salesforce provides.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned earlier, we've got a number of different clouds, both for sales, service, marketing, as well as platform, both on Force.com, which is Salesforce's platform for development, as well as Heroku, who allows you to also develop on other clouds like Amazon, for example. So we have very diverse platform for development. Specific to what Curtis just mentioned, though, it's interesting because he's developed his applications on Force.com. But the really what they've developed is a success platform. And I want to take a minute and talk about that because, you know, he's developed this platform that's done service requests, asset management. You know, they manage their mechanical equipment, space management, et cetera, waste management. But really, it's a success platform for these for him to be able to cross through the boundaries to break down some of these stovepipes. And we're seeing that in other areas of USDA, for example, at rural development, where they have now taken on Salesforce to help them with budget tracking, teleworking, for example, as well as managing their massive rural development database for farmers and ranchers. And what we're seeing, John, is that this success platform is being translated through all levels of government. A quick example is the city of Philadelphia. And here's a city, the fifth largest city in the country here. They have 1.5 million citizen inquiries every year. And they developed an app called Philly 311. It's based on Salesforce. And it is pretty spectacular. They can now open a case with their mobile phone. They can do geolocation data. They can embed a picture on a case. But just imagine this. This is the real power of the success platform and using Force.com and all the suite of products here. Imagine this. A tree falls down in city of Philadelphia and knocks down power lines, John. And what happens? A citizen walks out with their mobile app from Salesforce and Philly 311 opens a case up, takes a picture. The power is what happens after that, what happens in the contact center, and triggering off, let's say, an alert to public safety. So they're alerted that, hey, there's dangerous lines down. And another trigger goes out to public works because, you know what, they need to assess this case and they need to get a truck out there. And the utilities need to be notified, as well as we need to push out through social media, hey, you need to stay away from that block. It's very dangerous. That's the real power, because we've crossed over many different agencies and serviced one entry. It's very efficient, it's very accountable, and it's very transparent.
If you'd like to have more information, you can go to salesforce.com/industries/government and download the white paper on the GSA success story. Download the white paper on the Philadelphia story, just like the movie, huh? And learn how it – and it does really make sense. I mean, if Salesforce has had success in distributing the cloud to individuals, it should be able to distribute the cloud to federal individuals as well. And I guess I'm trying to block my sales out of this. You know, it's force.com. It gives force to end users like Curtis to take and apply the cloud in a more practical manner. You know, I think we have about 3 minutes here. What I'd like to know from you, Curtis, is flexibility and security. Rather than customizing an application, you can take advantage of a lot of Salesforce's built-in security, and I think it just got FedRAMP certified here.
Yes.
So you don't have to go to ABC Company and have a custom app and then worry about FedRAMP authorization and worry about, is it going to work on mobile? And, oh, no, we got to start from scratch and do it in responsive design, which is expensive and time-consuming. It's packaged in there at the beginning, isn't it?
Which is very important for us. Certainly for me, these are the kinds of things as a business manager in the federal sector, I don't want to have to worry about those kinds of things. I want to make sure that whatever requirements we have to have met, that they can be delivered rapidly. And then certainly there's always a cost factor that it can be delivered on budget. What I've experienced with this the Oscar development and everything that we're doing with the Salesforce platform has been very rapid development, has been timely beyond my expectations in terms of delivery. But more importantly, some of what Dave was saying, I wanted to comment on. You know, as we get all of these applications developed and we begin to deploy these applications, one of the things that we're realizing certainly is the fact that the productivity across the organization is increasing significantly. And my employees are feeling better about the work that they do because they're working with more modernized equipment and modern applications. And the synergy across my division lines, okay, is much tighter than it has been before. So it's having a transformational impact on the entire organization with regard to how we do our work, how we deliver services, and then certainly how we relate with our customers.
You know, 3 out of 5 searches on Google are done with mobile devices. On YouTube, 40% of all YouTube videos are viewed on mobile devices. I mean, so you're question earlier about people being mobile and looking in buildings and generating reports. I mean, the whole idea of sending someone else across town, look at a building, and having a piece of paper report, having them drive back, and then key it into it. I mean, this is just delay. Right now, I mean, you know, I have a lot of students, and I have 3 kids in their 20s. That piece of paper, drive across town, that ain't working, buddy. That ain't working, is it, Curtis?
Well, you know, one of the primary objectives that we really were trying to achieve with the Office of Operations is, you know, trying to figure out a most effective way to become paperless in terms of how we conduct our business. How do we make sure that all of the processes that we have to execute to deliver services, that we could do it in an electronic environment, which is very important for a number of reasons, but certainly you know, in terms of service delivery, but also with regard to access, making sure that our employees could access all of our documents, all of the processes they need to keep track of things from wherever they might be. Remote access certainly has been a very big benefit of this
program. And I think that's a well-kept secret about Salesforce is its success in the federal government. And the other well-kept secret is ease of use with a mobile device. I mean, it really is almost like more of the mobile Salesforce than just Salesforce, because so many salespeople use it, and it has to be reliable, has to be handheld, simple, easy, and complain if you don't access information quickly. Same thing with people looking at buildings or doing site surveys or all kinds of applications in USDA. Let's take a break and come back, talk more about Salesforce and the strange combination of Oscar and Felix and sales and Govies and who knows what's going on here this morning. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, David Ray, Senior Vice President of Salesforce, and USDA's Curtis Wilburn, Director of Operations at USA Office of Operations. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have David Ray, Senior Vice President at Salesforce, and Curtis Wilburn, Director of Operations at USDA Office of Operations, or more appropriately, Felix and Oscar.
That's good.
The odd couple here. And it's odd because he's a sales guy and he's a govy. It's like, what is this govy doing using a sales tool to make his system more efficient? But maybe Curtis sat back and got frustrated one day and scratched his head and thought and say, well, maybe I'll use this tool for something that maybe it's not planned for, and maybe it does have applications. But I think from a Salesforce perspective, there's things called call centers. People call in to federal agencies, and they have to have call centers respond. And just guess what? A sales type tool is perfect for that, because you can individually track, oh, I talked to Curtis on the 15th and the 20th and the 31st, and this is a document assignment on the 8th, and this is resolution of the dispute. The same thing for fixing televisions or fixing roofs with buildings. And so it's really, if you divorce yourself from the salesy concept of the guy in the cheap suit at the used car deal, if you think of someone like Curtis in an expensive suit in a radio studio, he has specific business problems that this tool. Well, geez, you know, this hammer is good at hammer, but it's also good at maybe putting in fence posts. Hmm?
So a couple of things with that, John. One of them for us, you know, we look at all of the various administrative and financial management functions that we have to manage, at least certainly at a macro level, and understand the fact that, you know, it's really just case management and workflow processing. You know, there's certainly with regard to some of the intricacies, there's some little differences here, but we're really just tracking the request that has come in from the customer, how well we've responded, and the approval processes that have to take place, okay, before we can actually deliver those services. And from my perspective, I think that was one of the keys working with our Office of Chief Information Officer and helping to get to where we are, because everyone understood that there's really no real heavy differences between whether you're tracking delivery of services and facilities management, or whether it's delivery of services in your health units, is pretty much all the same. So, you know, we took that approach, and it has really helped with regard to development, because we found then we weren't redeveloping the same requirements over and over again, and that has been very beneficial for us.
My last guest was Alan Harper. He's a co-author of a book called Gray Hat Hacking, and we talked about security. Now, even the best hammer in town is no good if it's owned by someone else. So you got to have security with this best hammer in town too, don't you, Dave?
Absolutely. And you know, trust is really Salesforce's number one value. And and because it's our number one value, we take obviously that very seriously. You know, one of the things we've done in the federal space is we've adopted those FedRAMP controls, as was mentioned earlier. It's a pretty significant effort, and we're very proud that we were actually the first to receive our authority to operate for both platform as a service as well as software as a service. And then, John, this past summer, we also released our government cloud. And I think what's significant about that is three things. One, it's managed by U.S. citizens in the U.S. We all have, everyone that has access has background investigations done. It is open to all U.S. federal, state, and local governments. It's open to federally funded research and development centers, as well as U.S. government contractors. And it's completely isolated. It's a multi-tenant environment supported by an isolated unit with its own server, storage, routers, switches, and networking. So we're able to provide this very secure, very scalable environment for our government employees.
PaaS and SaaS, is that correct?
PaaS and SaaS.
Yeah, I guess someone is going to understand that. Although the people in the state here can't be from that.
You know, one other thing that you mentioned, you know, because we keep thinking about Salesforce just as a Salesforce automation tool. I think what the audience has to ask themselves is this: it's very simple. Do you do some kind of case management? Do you have any kind of customer relationships? Do you have to listen? Do you have to have outreach? Do you have business applications like ERP? Do you have economic development? If you have any of these types of things, Salesforce has a play in there because we can develop applications, whether it's a COTS type or whether we're using our platform to develop it, to be able to meet these needs. So really, we can tackle just about any of these business requirements.
Curtis?
So one thing I will add to that, one of the I think real critical things about the OSCO database that we're deployed in the Office of Operations is the fact that we've able to marry those processes that Dave just described now with some very specific, very key metrics. Very important to making sure then that we understand exactly what it is that the customer is requiring by way of service delivery. We can track that. We can report back to the customer on a regular basis how well we have met that expectation. And then we can be more proactive in working with the customer to resolve any customer issues with regard to service delivery. Very key component, having all of that in one system. Very important for us.
Salesforce, kind of a tried and true company, 2 million users all over the world, 12,000 employees. I imagine there's a blog somewhere at Salesforce so some of my listeners can read and catch up with what's going on. Is that right, Dave?
Absolutely. If you want to find out the latest, just go to blog.salesforce.com. You can find the latest about events like Dreamforce that's coming up just around the corner on October 13th. You can find out about our different clouds. You can find out about social and mobile issues. You can find out what the analysts are saying. It's a great place to find out all about Salesforce.
You know, Curtis, I'm working with a small company on redesigning their website. I looked at it and said, let's blow this thing away. We're going to start from scratch. We're going to start from responsive. And they started screaming, yelling, this expense and this. And I said, no, it's responsive or nothing. I'm walking. And there was a lot of crying and gnashing of teeth, and they changed. Now, you bet on Salesforce, and it was built in. It was baked into responsive. So old Curtis here didn't have to show up one morning and say, guess what, guys? We got to start off from scratch, huh?
Well, you know, it's interesting, though. Certainly, when I initially met with our OCIO to talk about my functional requirements for what is now the OSCO database, my team wasn't quite there. Now, this was a very different experience for me because in the past, I was the guy trying to convince the guy that's sitting in my seat now, okay, this is the way we should go. This was different in the sense that now, you know, I'm the guy that's saying, okay, this is what we need to do. I need to convince my staff that this is the approach that would make best sense for us. One of the things that has really, really changed our organizational climate, though, are the managers that got on board early, and they're beginning to understand and see the benefits of having this kind of tool and the utility of the data that we have and being able to make management decisions based on this data. You know, that's something that was a luxury that we didn't have before.
It scales easily. It's subscription-based. You can take as much as you want or as little as you want, and it's not this huge. It's not like setting up a data warehouse. Okay, data warehouse is going to take a year and set up. And this is no. We just want a little bite now, and we'll test it out. And if it doesn't work, we'll change and move and switch. It's flexible.
And I do that constantly. And I am amazed. Certainly, two things. Certainly, the responsiveness of the team that I'm working with that goes in and reprograms this stuff. Because yeah, we liked it yesterday, but we don't like it today. We need to change this and change that. And they do that very well. The other thing, as you mentioned, though, John, is very, very important here. I have been very surprised about the cost impacts of this. In the past, you get into these kinds of changes. Okay, they are significant cost issues for you. And you get to the point where you realize, okay, you just have to accept what you have. I'm happy to say at this point, we've not reached that issue with the OSCO database. If we don't like it, we go back and say, change it, and they change it, and it doesn't cost us an arm and a leg.
You know, in my world, they call dialing it up. Well, I'll dial up 5 users. I'll dial up 10 users. I'll change this up. And we're going to open up this office in Chicago and dial up 15 and pull it back. I mean, that's very difficult to do in the old school custom environment with project managers and data warehouse and collection of, wait a minute, 6 months to collect requirements? I want it to be done in 6 months.
And by the time you did all of that, okay, whatever you were doing, okay, the moment had passed or what you were working on is now obsolete. You know, there was no way to stay current.
And that's the thing is stuff like the new Apple iPhone pops in and everything changes and you got to react to that. And how can any software developer anticipate anything as strange as a bending phone?
Right.
It's awful hard. So a lot of information coming up. There's a big trade show this time of year in October. What's this fancy pants trade show? What's it called?
Yeah, it's Dreamforce 2014, and it's October 13th through 16th. And it's the only game in San Francisco. And it's quite impressive. We're going to outdo ourselves from last year, which was already a spectacular event. We've got 1,400 expert-led sessions for
1,400 sessions?
1,400 expert-led.
1,400?
Yes.
Curtis, can you go to, what, four?
Exactly.
What do you do, split yourself or something?
What's interesting?
1,400.
Yeah, Curtis was able to attend last year,
yes.
And it was an overwhelming
tired, he had to go to the hospital afterwards.
You know, I'll tell you guys, certainly I have never seen anything like that. In terms of a conference, you know, I have this concept of what a conference is, okay? It's in a conference facility, okay? You've got things happening on different floors, breakout sessions all over, you know, that particular facility. This was essentially all over a downtown area, and everyone was tuned in. Everyone was tuned in. Great experience.
And my listeners are tuned in because they have to listen to some commercials right now. Okay. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in the studio. We have David Ray, Senior Vice President at Salesforce, and USDA's Curtis Wilburn, Director of Operations at USDA. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Oscar and Felix. Yes, sir. Complete opposites here. David Ray, Senior Vice President of Salesforce, and USDA's Curtis Wilburn, Director of Operations at USA Office of Operations. You would look at this and go, oh, wait a minute. It's a sales guy, a government IT guy. Well, what's going on here? It doesn't make any sense. But if you try to just, you know, maybe think outside the box, erase that word sales from it, but if it's a cloud-based product that can assist in many different types of applications, including process-based applications. And it's very easy and flexible and mobile. Well, then it fits, doesn't it? I mean, if you just take the hat off, you take Dave's hat off, and you go, okay, I can use it. Now that hat, I can't put them on, huh?
And, you know, certainly for me, John, when I began this work with our Office of Chief Information Officer, again, I was not familiar with Salesforce. And I didn't care too much about cloud-based technology. I didn't care too much about all of the various benefits that we've now received from working through this technology. But what I have found, certainly with Salesforce, as well as the Office Chief Information Officer at USDA, is a very, very effective partnership that has benefited us well with regard to achieving the goals and objectives that we set out for data management.
Many of my listeners are involved in social media. You can follow me at Ray Gilray. If you want information on the big conference, hashtag DF14, and then it's at Salesforce for all kinds of updates. And I think that at Salesforce, there's 20 different variations of that, international this and that, and information on Heroku. And there's just maybe you need 1,400 sessions, Dave, because it's splintering. It's hard to even understand all the different aspects of it.
Absolutely. But I think for our government customers, if you just go to, you know, salesforce.com/industry/government, you're going to be able to find out use cases, solutions that other government agencies are using. It's a great resource. You can also contact us that way very easily. Come right to us, or you can always send me an email, drey@salesforce.com as well.
Dre. Hey, sounds like a rapper.
Wow.
He's no longer Felix. He's the rapper. Dre. That's interesting. Yeah, and I downloaded one this morning. It was about the success at GSA.
Right.
And lo and behold, we built 100 plus apps with Salesforce to help government be more agile and nimble. Apps and Salesforce. So it's a tool that I can develop apps on. That's kind of intriguing, isn't it, Curtis? That's not how my little brain thinks.
Well, it's intriguing. It's exciting because for those of us who have worked in the federal sector for many years, trying to develop enhanced tools to help us to manage all administrative financial management functions from HR to contracting and budget and finance. When you find something that is, first of all, it comes in at much less cost than you had anticipated. You can deliver it develop in a rapid development environment, and you can deploy it very quickly. And it does a lot of other things with regard to providing opportunities to track certain key performance indicators for you. Yeah, it's exciting.
There are people who are listening and saying, well, geez, which one's Oscar, which one's Felix, which one's Dave, which one's Curtis? And what I've designed is a scientific test to find out who in this room is a card-carrying nerd. And I'm going to ask each one of these 10 questions,
and then
I'll put it through my computer in my basement, my UNIVAC, and we'll find out who the real nerd is or not here. And Curtis, you better be honest with these answers, too. Here we go. Okay. The man from the government, Mr. Curtis. Okay. How many old-school desktops do we find in your house this evening if we visit your house while you're watching the game?
None.
None. That's the right answer. How many cell phones have you bought in the last year?
Two.
Two. Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
No. Wow.
Do you have a personal blog?
No.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I have an iPhone 5.
Okay. What's the most popular app in the last 30 days on that guy?
Wow. It's a map thing. Helps me to get around. I forget the name of it.
Waze.
That's it.
Good. I'm a lucky guesser.
Really like that.
So we break into your house. How many tablet devices do we find floating around your house?
Two.
Two. Okay. And what social networking sites you active in?
You know, I don't... Not much. My wife does all of that.
Okay. And the last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
It was paper.
Well, you were so close. Felix. I mean, Dave, your turn to win. Let's see if you can be the biggest nerd in the room here. Pocket protector and white socks and everything, huh? Okay. How many old school desktops at your house, Dave?
We've got one.
Oh, he's sinking fast. How many cell phones have you bought in the last year?
Just one.
One. He's got you so far. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do not.
Personal blog?
I do not.
You're even there. And what kind of smartphone you have?
I've got the Apple 5S.
And what's the most popular app on that?
Well, definitely Salesforce One.
He knows where his paycheck's coming from. And are you active in any social networking sites?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Except I will say I'm active in my on Chatter. And, we have
Chatter's a part of Salesforce.
Absolutely,
it's on my list. Yeah, I didn't get to it.
Absolutely, Chatter. Yeah. I mean, and actually, it's a social network not for just our company. I mean, it's probably the most widely used in the commercial industry. GSA has 17,000 people
on
Chatter.
That was the intro to GSA. That's
amazing.
What Sony did.
John,
yeah.
Does that count for this test, though?
No, it doesn't. That does not count. And the last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
It was paper.
It was, both.
It's a close one.
I hate to say it, but you're on the normal side. Now go out and start being nerds or being something involved with getting 10 new. It was one of the guys in my office ran out to get that new phone yesterday. He didn't care if it bent or didn't bend. He just wanted to have the new trending phone. This studio does some sports broadcasting, baseball and everything else. And there used to be a little crystal ball people would hand out. So I got to do crystal ball with both of you. So Curtis, crystal ball time here. Next 4 to 5 years, is the federal government actually going to learn to be flexible and think outside the box and use different tools for different applications? Or you think it's going to be kind of mired in we've always done it this way?
No, I think that, the trend is already changing. And for a number of reasons, certainly technology itself is pushing us in that direction. We're already approaching a period of time where we understand that with respect to resource management, as well as recruitment and hiring, retention of our most brightest employees, we have to do something different and better with regard to the technologies we bring to bear in the workforce. But it also is very important for us with regard to space management and our real estate holdings and trying to figure out how it is that we begin to be more effective in allowing our employees to access all of the various data that they need so they can be effective remotely. That's a developing trend. I think we're going to get there.
Dave, do you agree? Where do you see the federal government heading next 5 years?
Listen, I see the cloud being at the forefront, and I'll tell you why. Over the past 30 years, I've seen lots of innovation. I've seen lots of technology advances. But this is the first time I've seen the combination of all this merging together. You know, something that's secure, that's unlimitedly scalable. It is out of the box in many ways, but it's also ability to be flexible and customizable. It integrates with legacy systems. It's affordable, and you can rapidly adjust it. And when you put all those things together, not one single old technology can do all that, and cloud computing can. Salesforce can.
Yes, and back when I started off the show talking about Vivek Kundra, and very tall guy, by the way. He was in the studio, and we talked about the cloud, and then he went off to a company called Salesforce. and I said, well, geez, we were talking about no software and the cloud. And I think the concept of the cloud is one thing, but making it practical and convenient and safe, That's really the challenge, because I could hire a software developer and have them develop this little silo application and put it on AWS, and I could say, well, that's the cloud. Well, it's not secure. It can't connect to anything. It doesn't work, and I can't make changes quickly in it. And, oh, by the way, there's iPhone 7 coming up, and we got to change and adapt the site to reflect that. The challenge with the cloud is not using the cloud. I think the challenge with the cloud is getting the best practices and deploy those in using a cloud.
Yeah, I think that's right. And certainly for the Office of Operations, in our experience, we've been very fortunate in having some really strong partners that, fortunately for me, figure those things out so that I don't have to, as the business manager. I can focus on the things that are important for my customers. But certainly recognizing that cybersecurity issues and everything that we have to do with regard to access and control, all of those things being very important. I've been fortunate to come through this at a time where other folks have worked that out for my benefit. So I thank my office chief information officer, and I thank the folks that I work with using this cloud technology to help us to do that.
So Salesforce.com for more information. Dreamforce coming up. You're going to go to the Dreamforce, Dave?
No, I'll be there, absolutely.
Was it a 3 or 4 day event?
It's a four-day event, but 3 day spectacular.
Wow!
So what, Curtis, you have to do is you flip a coin, or you take your top 100 events or classes you want to attend. I don't know, how do you.
Well, you know, that's a good question. I haven't quite figured all of that out yet, but there are some very specific things that I want to do. And certainly for me, one of the benefits of being at this kind of conference is networking with other professionals who have similar challenges, or certainly who may have overcome some challenges that I'm not yet. Had an opportunity to deal with, and then learning from them some of these best practices and figuring out some new ways of accomplishing some of these challenges.
And that's what I hope we accomplish in shows today, is that people maybe type in Salesforce or Curtis or something and wind up listening to the show, and they go, well, maybe I can use this hammer for more than just, closing up paint cans. Maybe I can use it for nails. Right. But you got this hammer here, and it's got to use it for many different things, and I think that's what Salesforce is all about. It's maybe not just limited to somebody in a sales position. Maybe it's got involved with workflow, or maybe something to do with mobile applications and security. So it's kind of a new old product that's had been quietly successful, and that's the whole message of this show today. You have been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, David Ray, Senior Vice President at Salesforce, and Curtis Wilburn, Director of Operations at USDA Office of Operations.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.